briefcase and all my stuff.
Like the, on February the 7th at 8:35 to call the meeting of the House Transportation Committee together. Let the record note that Vice Chairman Mike W. Miller is here, Representative Locker, Representative Szymanski, Representative Phillips, Representative Davis, Representative Herman, Representative McBride, Representative Booth, and Chairman Cato are in attendance. We have before us today House Concurrent Resolution Number 2. We also have with us the sponsor of this concurrent resolution, Mr. Representative Grusendorf. Would you care to testify?
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. This particular resolution, what it does is adds 75 additional days onto the time that a 65-year-old Alaskan can travel on the Alaska ferry system. Right now, during the months of May through May 15th through October 1st, which is classified as our tourist season, the senior citizens in the state of Alaska are not eligible to travel on the Alaska State Ferry System on a stand or passage basis. They can the other months. So what I'm indicating is there are roughly eight months there by which the Alaskan senior citizens may travel. I think it's important to realize the months that we're talking about right now, the only reason our elders are excluded from traveling during those periods is because it's tourist season. And I think we have to sit down and analyze what exactly our state ferry system is attempting to do, and that is to help Alaskans. Now let's face it, because of the mode of transportation, the ferry transportation, you have to be a person that has a lot of time to be able to use it, or you're willing to use it because you do not have the funds to travel by any other means. Now during these months, or time that I'm talking about, these 75 extra days between May 15th and October 1st, this happens to be the time of the year that a lot of elderly people, grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, aunts, like to travel to various villages and towns, mainly in Southeast Alaska, to visit their relatives, their grandchildren who are not in school, also to be able at that time to get involved into the harvest of everything from berries, to going to the camps, to in general enjoying probably the best time of the year that's available for an older person to do so. So I think we have to analyze here that we're looking at Alaska ports only, and we are talking about passage on the shuttle ferries in Alaska ports. And those, we're not talking about the mainliners that are steaming out of Seattle, of which the bulk of the tourist groups, tourist type people would be on. We're attempting here to allow that person from Una, Angoon, Cape, Pelican, the places in Southeast Haines, and of course between Petersburg and Ketchikan, Sitka, Juneau, to be able to move during this time. Our elderly do have friends, if they are true Alaskans, in all these communities. And I think that it would be the type of thing that we could do as a state to assist the elderly in transportation. If you're up in the northern area where there's a road system, transportation is not that expensive because you could use the road system, automobile, bus, this sort of thing. But it doesn't exist in Southeast Alaska and some other areas that are serviced by the ferry structure. I was looking at the fiscal note, the new one here, and from what I understand, from last year we figured out that it would be possibly a loss of about $184,000 in revenue. The projection here for free senior citizen passage for 12 months full would be a loss of $175,000. That certainly is not much when you start considering the benefits that could be derived by the elderly Alaskans using the ferry system. I understand there are some other costs that would be involved, dealing with administrative problems. The estimate is the potential revenue loss might be $275,000. But remember, we're not talking about the senior citizens being able to drive their car on. They would have to pay for the car. I'm not talking about senior citizens getting a stateroom. They naturally would have to pay the normal, at the snack bar, any other services that would be available, they would have to pay for. Other than the fact that if they're in Sitka, they can walk on the ferry if there's room and get to Angoon. And we're talking about 75 days extension to what we already have of space available. If the resolution does ask that the governor do invest the possibilities of looking at making staterooms available at reduced rates for the senior citizens, but that's something that would have to come up with a study and how this could be done. But I'm mainly talking about the day passage for someone from Angoon jumps in the ferry and goes to Cape, something of this nature here. But overall, I think if you start weighing the dollar costs, and granted the Alaska State Ferry System is subsidized, then again, I think we have to look at the service that it's supposed to provide, and I certainly would, in my mind, granted the tourist season is a very important season and does make up some revenues, but I think the benefits as Alaskans would override.
Are there questions of Representative Grusendorf? Mr. McBride.
I would assume that you don't have all the answers to the administrative things at this point. The questions I'd like to ask are things like how much of this would be made up, for example, in food? Do we make a profit on food, and therefore they would make part of it up on food? Would they be bumped if they were going past more than one port? Is there a chance, on account of the ferries being as crowded as they are, that they'd be bumped? Some questions like that.
Well, this is one reason, Madam Chairman. This is one reason, Representative McBride, that we use these shuttle ferries. And that, yes, there is an element of risk, but it's a slight risk. A person could go down, and very rarely will you see the ferries filling up as it stops in, let's say, to Angoon, Cape, Kuna, this type of thing there. If they were going someplace, they would be going, let's say, to Ketchikan, and then maybe on the way back they may have the possibility of some problem, but then they would already, if that was their original destination, there would be a chance probably to pick up another ferry as it left there. We're talking about the shuttle cruise.
Yeah.
I mean, this would have to be kept in mind of the senior citizen, as it is even now. I mean, there is a possibility even now under the program that we have for the senior citizens that they might not be able to get on that ferry. But it's very, very rare. I cannot think of a case.
I'm assuming that you're making this available to Alaska residents only.
Well, that would be the intent of doing this. I think right now there are many ways by which an Alaska senior citizen can be identified by various cards and forms that we do have. And if one simply shows that card, if it's available, he or she walks onto that vessel. Now, we did do some studies in relationship to what would happen if we open it up to non-residents, and if we used all senior citizens, Alaska ports only, we may, on just passage, $184,000 would be lost. Interesting enough, it does match what the new statistics are with, I believe this was for Alaska. No, this is free senior citizens passage, so I assume that they're including all of them. if we included Alaskan ports only, Alaskans only, about $110,000 would be lost in passage. If we used all senior citizens, all ports, including Seattle and Rupert, we'd be talking about $406,000 in passage. But I don't think it would be in the best interest of the state to have the ability to go to Rupert or Seattle, because then we would have problems with senior citizens traveling on a ferry that may not truly be senior citizens of Alaska.
Representative Grusendorf, if I remember right from last year, we cannot preclude senior citizens from out of state. Am I correct on that? Without going through the battle of...
If you have cards, you may, but then you'd have to have those cards available so that a senior citizen could apply for them. Therefore, if a senior citizen is willing to get on the ferry and, let's say, in Seattle, and endure that trip up to another port, he or she would have to get a card or a certificate. I don't think it would be, I just don't think that it would be that convenient for them to do that. But we can do that. For example, senior citizens do have cards right now to be exempt from sales tax in some communities. And if you're a senior citizen, you throw that card out there, the merchant just, so we can do the same thing. If a non-resident senior citizen wanted to come into a community and establish themselves, let's face it, it only takes 30 days now. If they want to hang around for 30 days to do so, or length of time, I suppose there's nothing we can do to stop that.
Representative Herman, you have a question?
Yeah, would there be a difference then for Alaska resident card and a non-resident card?
We would just have one card. Just establishing that person as a senior citizen could be done by, I think they use some type of card now. There are a lot of cards that our senior citizens do possess, or we could develop. Maybe this might be the administrative cost that we would. In other words, you'd have to apply for this card to be good.
I think follow through.
Yeah, so we couldn't say that there could just be an Alaska resident card.
We could have a card by which the great majority, say 95% of those people that would fill it out, probably would be truly Alaskan. You're going to have abuse in just about any system we create, very much like this permanent fund dividend program that we have had to grapple with. There will always be some people who will try to take advantage of the system, but we have to weigh it. Are these potential people take advantage of the system going to really affect the benefits that it would have for, let's say, 95, 96, 97% of our senior citizen traveling public?
Representative Boone?
I'll defer to Representative
Representative Locker.
Don't call me Larson.
Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess I have just two questions. Number one, for Representative Grusendorf, it is your intent then that in the best way administratively that you can, you will try and restrict this to Alaskan senior citizens, but knowing full well that that's an impossibility. But somehow it will be put together so that mostly Alaskan seniors will benefit from this program. That is your intent.
By the time span that would be necessary to apply and get back that support.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, and then number two, seniors now, are they able to make reservations, or do they just get on space available?
I believe it's supposed to be space available, but most of them make reservations. They make their reservations and then go to the terminal and usually get on.
So So this would work exactly the way it's been working in the past, however that is.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Phillips?
Dan, I think I caught the rationale for not, you know, on page 2, line 1, you name all the different votes, and there's at least 4 of them that are not excluded. And did I hear you right about the rationale? Because these like Taku Matsu, the Matanuska, rather, and the Malaspi and the Columbia are the heavy tourist boats. Or was there a reason why these other boats were not named? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, these are the shuttle ferries that the state of Alaska has, the smaller vessels that their main function is to ply the waters between Alaskan ports. They do not go out of Alaskan waters.
Okay.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, I think this is an excellent idea. My one concern is when you have large numbers of tourists that come up here that are over 65, my fear is they may tend to swamp some of these ferries when they find out in the bookings or whatever, they find out that they can come to Juneau or Sitka or wherever, and then they can all board another ferry, go off to another place all for free. So I could just see some potential problems if this card that you're talking about isn't implemented, where a whole tour group of all age 65 and above would come into one of our smaller towns and then take a ferry off to some other place and swamp a ferry. Or cause some problems.
A lot of these traveling senior citizen groups usually go through a tour agent, which then books up state rooms and other facilities for them, not people who are just going to sit there in a lounge chair. The bulk of the revenues that are made, once you travel from Seattle or Rupert to Ketchikan, the amount of money that is paid for that is that's where the bulk of the money is made right there. What happens in between Ketchikan and, let's say, Juneau or Sitka, not that expensive. But I can't see a tour group trying to do that, because it would cause problems with them in their bookings, because they have to guarantee hotels and other things that they're going to, that they will be there, and they couldn't allow themselves to be caught in that, well, what if half the crew, what if half of the tour group couldn't get on? As I said, there will be a few people that will take advantage of that, but I think when it comes right down to it, most of them probably will be relatives of Alaskans.
Representative Abood.
If I were a tour agent, I believe that your concept is excellent here. It wouldn't be many years where I'm going to be able to do this for free, too, so I'm not going to. But it just appears to me that, did you have something to say?
But at least 10 years.
Thank you. It just appears to me that if we do this, and if I were a travel agent, I'd book the hell out of everybody coming in between Seattle and Juneau, or Seattle, or the first port of entry into Alaska. And I'd really put it out, your travel on the ferry system is free once you get there. Now, most of those people, and if you go down there, they have to help most of them off the little boats, because they are 65 and older. This is what they have left. They want to see Alaska. You won't find too many young people are doing this. And secondly, I think that we're going to come back into a discriminatory situation. We can't stop the outsiders. What we're doing, according to one of these, and they said it very nicely, is that we will be subsidizing the balance of the older folks outside to come to Alaska once they get here. I think that the statement here, that from an administrative standpoint, it's going to really cause a tremendous impact, particularly during those months, which is the heavy tourist season. And I think we're going to be running the ferry system at a loss. They don't know as yet what those administrative costs are going to be. They don't know how many people will apply for that card. It's well to think, well, our Alaskans are taken care of, yes. I'm not concerned about that. I think that's fine. But when you expand it to the total tourist industry, I think we're going to have some fantastic inputs, as a matter of fact. And we believe the senior citizens from out of states would again be beneficiaries of the program. These are also, these figures are conservative losses, according to the Department of Transportation. In fact, if the figures show and they've got a zero fiscal note, I don't think they could really figure out what a fiscal impact would be on the department. I'm rather, I think we're going to get into lawsuits and everything else if we try to attempt to even stop anybody from getting a card, if you will. Or maybe, and they'll have cards down in those tourist agencies all over the United States. All you've got to do is sign this. Here's your application. Go ahead, and they'll be deluged with the applications. Thousands and thousands of free riders aboard our ferries. And what does that do to the guy that pays a full fare and he's 62 years old, 63 years old, 64 years old? He sees one guy that this guy can climb aboard the boat, this guy's got to be carried across the boat, and he's younger. He says, I paid the full fare of my whole family and everything. And yet this guy gets on for free. It just, and I recognize the point of taking care of our own older Alaskans for the berry picking, for the visiting their folks here and there and back and forth. But it just seems to me that we don't know quite enough about what that impact is going to be before we take some positive action on it. Thank you.
Sure.
Representative Szymanski, you haven't spoken yet.
I have a question. Do you intend to move on this bill today? Or
yes, I'd like to.
Okay, because I was thinking it may be worthwhile to try to obtain some information. I don't see Alaska Visitor Association and the tourist group represented here, and I'd like to maybe get some information from them as to what they may think the impact associated with it.
Because I'd like to does not necessarily mean that we have to.
You still got another committee referral.
Yes. Representative Miller.
I don't know who can answer this question, but I don't have a great amount of experience with the marine system where I'm from. However, during the summer, I have a lot of experience with the tourists. Can anyone tell me these vessels named in this, what their capacity is to haul vehicles? Because my experience, most of the people that travel the ferry system in the summer bring their vehicles. They're continuing on our road systems up to Fairbanks, into Anchorage, wherever. And a lot of them take the ferry system one way, and then they take the Alaska Highway the other way, depending on how they come in. And my comment would be, the number of older people that will use it that are non-Alaskans, if these vessels do not have a very high, if they cannot accommodate that many vehicles, they won't take advantage of it for the simple fact that, you know, they can't bring their vehicles because they are bringing their vehicles to continue on to our system. And I guess what I'm saying is that most older people that are not Alaskans will probably use the larger vessels that are not named, so they can bring their vehicles into wherever they disembark to continue on to our road system into the interior, into Anchorage, and on out the Alaska Highway when they leave. So I guess what I'm saying is I really don't see that much of an impact of non-Alaskans using this during the summer if the vessels named do not have a large capacity to carry vehicles. I don't know if somebody can answer that, you know, what their capacity is.
Representative McBride.
Well, and probably Representative Grusendorf could have answered it just as well as I, but during the summer, the car decks are pretty well full. And so what that would mean is the person who has a car would have to get his car on board and pay regular prices, whatever they might be. And if he did do that, then of course he could, and this were in effect, he could take advantage of that. But I also see that there's ways that you could very easily cut the, in the first place, most senior citizens tend to be pretty honest. And so if you had a card that says, I swear that I'm a resident of Alaska, I think, you know, you wouldn't get too many signing up in the lower 48. I think right away the person who was signing it would consider the travel agency he was working for sort of shady and be leery of them right from the beginning. If I were a travel agency, I wouldn't suggest that to anybody and have them sign that card. The second thing that you could do is just have one other name of an Alaska resident, which wouldn't tell you that he was an Alaska resident, but that would be two people that would have to sign this card that says that I know this person to be an Alaska resident, and that seems pretty simple. It could be possibly somebody from your family, but it would seem fairly simple.
Yes, could I make just one statement? I am familiar, very, very familiar, with the Bartlett. The Bartlett does have tour groups. I also have been a tour escort. The Bartlett going between Cordova, Valdez, and Whittier would not do any non-Alaskan resident any good. And I just wanted to emphasize that as far as the Bartlett is concerned. This does not mean that the Bartlett is not filled during the summertime. It very definitely is. However, almost always they do have some walk-on space. And the car deck is full during the summertime. And these are people coming from Cordova to Valdez, Valdez to Whittier, going through to Anchorage. But I did just want to put that one comment in. Representative Locker?
Yeah, I have. I guess I kind of have made up my mind while I was sitting here talking. I'd like to speak in favor, and I think for two reasons, and then just make a suggestion to the sponsor. One reason is that we have already and are now subsidizing the ferry system. So when you do talk about the fact that there may be some seniors who are from out of state taking advantage of this, first of all, we're already subsidizing their travel, so that's a given. Number two, we would be increasing that subsidy, this small amount between these ports. And when we think in terms of the fact that it could be only 5%, like the sponsor has said, well then maybe that's not that much more of a subsidy. And I do believe, remembering full well where I live, that the intent of the ferry system was to give the people on the water the same thing that we hope to have where we live, an opportunity to travel to our other communities. And if that's true, then it would only follow that legislation like this would be very important. It's more important that we have Alaskan seniors using this rather than tourists, as much as we would like to build our tourist industry. So for those two reasons, but the only thing that concerns me on this resolution is that whenever we talk about seniors, we should always say Alaskan seniors. It's mentioned two or three times. It's not mentioned in the beginning. It says related to travel by senior citizens. I think it should be Alaskan senior citizens. And always use Alaskan whenever possible so that the full intent of this resolution is known to anyone that ever reads it.
Yes, Representative Bruce.
The reason that we did not use Alaska senior citizen is that it would automatically be a flag for a discrimination type of question that would come up. And even though this resolution, if it was carried out, would benefit Alaskan senior citizens, there was some hesitant about doing that in discussion with Senator Ray last year, we went around on that, and then I concurred with the Senate's thinking on this. Madam Chairman, there was some question here by Representative Abood in relation to the fiscal note here that it was zero. I think all of us know that regardless of whether or not there's a single passenger upon that ferry, those ferries are going to be going between those ports anyhow, with or without people on it. So that's why there's no fiscal note attached to it, because it's already cranked in the budget what it's going to cost. There would be no impact on it. There will, however, be potential loss of revenue that they would get, but not in the operation maintenance of the vessel itself.
Representative Abood is next.
Representative Locker brought up a very interesting point, and Representative Gusendorf kind of confirmed it a little bit. I have no heartburn whatsoever regarding our Alaskan citizens. They can put all of the Alaskan citizens on it that they want or we wish that are 65 and older. The only thing this bill does not address, in my opinion, is that bulk of people over 65 from the lower 48. And of course you can't get an Alaskan card, because they are honest, they're not Alaskans, so they're not going to give that. But we're opening this up to all citizens 65 and over from the lower 48. And if I were a travel agency down in Seattle, California, and I tell all those, and they are well organized, you know that, the senior citizens groups, that's the bulk of the people that come up here. And if you think not, wait till the boats start to come in. You know it as well as I do. They're coming up over 65. And if we cannot curtail that, then we're going to have a very serious problem, because I, as a travel agent, say, look, all you got to do now, you want to go to Alaska, here we go. And what you pay this fare up to wherever the first point of entry into Alaska is, and from there on, you can get on these ferries and it doesn't cost you anything. Matter of fact, you can make reservations for a stateroom, if you will. Now, whether they'll honor it or not, either here or there. The point is, they can do it. And you'll see a fantastic influx of people that have never been here before because of the travel situation. And I agree to open it up to our systems that we don't have that kind of a problem. This is a unique situation. Our boats are limited. The travel is limited. The climate is limited for travel during those times. So I still have a lot of heartburn about opening this whole thing up. And as you said, and Representative Gusendorf said, you can't put Alaskan in here because it would be discriminatory. It's just like the permanent fund that we got into, if you recall. So is this the only vehicle that we can use to get our Alaska citizens 65 and over aboard these things at no cost to the state, without opening it up to the balance of the United States, Europe, you name it, all over the world? And that's what I think will be happening to it.
Representative Davis was next.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have to agree with Latcher about, I was thinking we should have it saying relating to travel by Alaskan senior citizens, and I thought you perhaps had given that some consideration. And what I thought perhaps we could do as a committee was say the intent of this particular legislation upon implementation is that it is directed for Alaskan senior citizens, and have a paragraph that is the intent of this committee, that it be implemented only for or solely for Alaskan residents. I support this, and I'm 100% behind the idea. I see the potential problem with having in the brochure all senior citizens free travel between ports. You know, people arriving in Juneau, Ketchikan, Sitka, and have free travel. It's a boon to the tourist industry.
Representative Miller.
Well, I think part we're losing sight of what the original concept was of the marine ferry system,
And we in the interior, we have our road system. Those in Mattsu, Anchorage, they have a road system. But the intent, from what I understand of the original marine system, was to extend our road system into southeastern Alaska. I have problems too, and lots of times, you know, of giving away freebies by the state. However, I think the concept of the marine system was to extend our road system, and in as much if we take the road system in other parts of the state, actually we're letting the tourists use them free. The only people paying for it is Alaskans when we buy our $30 license plate tab. So in this respect, I have no problem with this piece of legislation because I see it just as an extension of our road system. And I don't foresee that many people, non-Alaskans, using it. I think most of the people that will use it will be as the original intent, that from my feelings here on page 1, 18 and 19, to increase the number of foot passengers on the vessel. And I just don't see that much problem with it, and I would support this. I would urge this committee to support its passage because I just feel that the marine system is, we're just expanding our transportation system, our road system in southeastern, something that they don't have physical roads like we in the interior do have.
Representative Grusenbaum, I've got Mr. Newsbaum, so that's the reason why I do that. Grusendorf, excuse me, you're our...
Madam Chairman, I'll accept that name.
Would you yield so that we could get testimony from Mr. Newsbaum prior to... And then, don't go away. Is that all right with
that's
the committee?
Fine,
so
that
we can
have a brief...
Don't go away.
Yes.
That's right.
Let's have a brief at ease, say about 2 minutes.
And they're still going to get the free pass.
For some...
Well, Mr. Newsbaum, go ahead and pour your cup of coffee. All right, would you like to testify at the present time?
Yes, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Marty Newsbaum. Presently, I'm acting director of the Marine Highway System. I think the system agrees with the concept of what we're trying to do here. We recognize that the revenue impact is small, and we also recognize that we'd like to see more of our Alaskan senior citizens travel on the ferries and have a reduced rate or as far as free passage is concerned. And our primary concern is the same as that that many of you expressed here today, and that is, does it open the marine highway system to the outside traveler, the tour groups, such as that? Our present system is not to issue a card or anything of that sort to seniors. We take their identification as proof of the fact that they are senior citizens. The only limitation we have is the fact that the free passage applies only between Alaskan ports. There hasn't been the cost analysis here, there hasn't been anything provided for the issuance of a card or anything of that sort. We presently do have senior citizens groups who attempt to schedule their tours, not necessarily with the tour agency, but in themselves, and they're presently scheduling as many of their tours as they can, as close as they can to what we call the shoulder months, those nearest to the summer months. We can expect that those groups then will look toward the summertime quite rapidly and quite heavily. And I believe that the past research will bear out the fact that any attempt to limit this travel to just Alaskans through the use of a card or or any other means to discriminate toward outside people. I think in the past that's been proven that we just can't do that. We do see some real administrative problems, but I think more than that, the example you gave as to the Bartlett being full throughout the summer, the other vessels are heavily used throughout the summer. I do believe that we would have the organized senior citizens from outside the state attempting to get whatever space they could during the summertime. That's all I have to say. I'd be glad to answer your question.
So I'll represent Lockerstown first.
I have one question. You said in the past that it's been proven that we cannot do that. Tell me what happened that caused you to not be able to do that.
I'm not sure, but I believe that the Department of Law has taken a look into the matter and has advised us that we shouldn't provide the travel.
I need to continue with that. That's not as satisfactory to me as representative considering doing something for a group of people in the state. I would like verification of when and why they could not do it, and possibly a court case if there is one.
All right, Representative McBride.
To answer your question, and it's fine, I think it'll be fine to go ahead and get that information, but I believe it has something to do with the federal highway funds that we're able to get. And when I was chairman of a senior citizens group, and I think that's what we found at the time, if I recall right. The next question I wanted to ask, is it all bad? Now, I don't know what it does to your reservation system, and I think that probably is the key to it, but is it all bad if there are three spaces available and somebody got on there? And do you lose money on the food, for an example? I know that that the crew has to be there, whether there's passengers, you know, it's full of passengers or not. So I'm saying, is it all bad if a senior citizen from Arizona got on? Would it in fact help the situation because the cook is still getting paid and those kinds of things? Or are we losing money on food and therefore would lose more money and those kinds of, if they were used a stateroom, they pay the same price as anybody else, so that should work out the same, those kinds of things.
You're absolutely correct. The cost to the system as far as food and such as that, we would probably make some, perhaps a negligent total profit. The crew is in place, and it's going to take the same amount of crew. The only bad thing that I can envision is if there's three spaces left on the ferry and the person from Arizona is taking them, and a senior citizen Alaskan is left behind. I think that's what we're talking about when we get into the realm of the administrative problems. Who goes, who doesn't? Do you make reservations? Do you have people just come by? That would be the adverse impact. Not necessarily the fact we're in business to fill the ferries.
Representative Booth.
And to follow up with that, Marty, if that scenario were to take place, that older citizen from Arizona has probably had that reservation for the last 6 months or a year even. And all of a sudden our Alaskan comes along and he decides, I think I want to go to Port Hyden or someplace. And all of a sudden he gets there and he can't get on. Now what do? We have to take the Arizona man because of family or whatever it is, because he's there and he's had the reservation all 9 yards. And the Alaskan again can't get on because that's the last one. I mean, let's take the worst scenario. Is that true? or could we stopgap that some way? Somebody's going to get hurt. One, the guy from Arizona, or the
somebody's
guy.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
What's your practice now is what he's asking.
Through the chair, please.
No further.
Go ahead and answer the question.
As far as I am able to determine, since the travel is limited to the wintertime and there's space available, I can't recall an instance where we've had to determine whether to leave someone or whether someone else could go. Mm-hmm.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Why can't we have it implemented so that there would be, that this would apply only on space available? In other words, someone from Arizona could make a reservation without paying for it. If they made a reservation, they'd have to pay for it. This would only be space available, which would benefit Alaskan residents, so they could walk on and not have to worry. If the ferry's booked up, they know it's booked up, and it's booked up by paying passengers.
I believe that's what the resolution says. It says on a space available basis. So if a reservation was made, it would have to be a paid reservation, am I correct?
Yes. Yes, I think the we can make reservations for anyone, Alaskans or non-Alaskans. When we come to the problem is when they're at the terminal and it's time to board the ferry. And that's when the decision has to be made as to who is the state.
Representative Miller.
Well, I think that answers my question as much as this thing states space available. So if they're making a reservation, you know, it's not space available because they already have, you know, they made the reservation for that day on the ferry. So it no longer becomes space available. And my understanding, once they make reservations, they're supposed to pay for it for like 45 days in advance. So that I would, you know, if you make reservations, that, you know, you're with the understanding you're going to have to pay for it, and it's because it states here space available. So I really don't see that, you know, being a problem if they've already paid in advance.
Representative Szymanski.
Let me see if I can understand you right. What you're saying is that in the past the practice has not been to bump anybody or anything, but if I hear you correctly, what you're saying is that you do allow senior citizens who are traveling free now to make reservations.
Yes.
So they end up with a seat on the ferry right now. If I'm a senior citizen, I guess I don't know timing, but I wanted to get on there right now, you'd fill it out just like a reservation, right? Now, if for some reason you had a full ferry, and you had a prioritization process going on, I guess it's first come, first service.
Well, I think that's where our problem is, you see, because that would be the administrative area that we'd have to set up a whole new set of rules for.
Okay, so then let me follow a step further then on this, because the space available question also gets into the old reservation routine. I'm senior citizen Joe Blow from Louisiana. I call up and I get a confirmed reservation and say, put me on standby for space available, whatever that may mean. I don't know. I guess administratively you haven't thought through exactly how you're going to deal with it, because a person could indeed get confirmed space but then ask for some of the space. Is space available in your terms, then, the way you understand this resolution to be, will never be a commitment then?
That's the way I would understand it. I would envision making a reservation on the basis that you're subject to not being able to board or being bumped if a full-paying passenger is
Representative
Locker. Yeah, I would say that if, in fact, this is firm, that there should be no problem what we're talking about here. It would be that if you're a senior and you wish to insure travel, then you would have to be forced to pay for it ahead of time. And you would only get to go for free if there's space available. And that would eliminate what concerns most of us at this table, would be the man who's making a reservation 6 months ahead or 3 months ahead or 2 months ahead.
But I need to be sure that that's exactly what you're doing, and I'm not so sure that's true. When you talk about making decisions, when the boat board, that concerns me a little bit. I mean, it should be all cut and dried, that unless it is paid for in advance, that's the only sure seat. And anyone else that gets on is getting on space available.
Well, see, we are quite different from the airlines in that we're not reserving a seat on the ferry. And of course, we're not talking about staterooms here in this respect. During the month that senior citizen travel is in effect now, I don't believe we have a full ferry. So there is no problem for us as far as making a reservation for senior citizens. The problem just isn't there. We don't have the decision when the vessel leaves port as to who stays and who goes, because there just aren't that many people traveling. What we're concerned about is in the summer, when particularly the smaller vessels, and particularly the Bartlett, are historically full of foot passengers, then we can have a problem as far as determining who stays, who goes, when we take the reservation, and how we make the reservation.
I can follow up on that. But not if, in fact, it is your policy that the only time a reservation is, in fact, a reservation, it must be paid for. And the only time you travel for free is when you travel space available.
I'm not sure I understand.
Okay, I guess I'm saying it. This says that they can travel space available for free. That's it.
Yes.
That's it, period. That stops the man in Seattle from booking 20 places for senior citizens for free, whether he can get them a card or not a card, or whether a card is discriminatory or not discriminatory. If you want to be sure you travel on the Alaskan ferry, then you must pay. Otherwise, if you want to travel space available and you're a senior and you can prove it, then you may get to go for free. I mean, that seems fairly simple.
Well, presently, you do go for free, and you can make a reservation.
Well, only because, like you said, there's never a problem
right.
of space. And so why bother with a reservation? But you're also telling us that the reason why this won't work is because there's going to be a problem with space.
Yeah,
so in order to make it work, then you would have to go back to the original policy, which sounds like good policy to me, and set policy that, in fact, reservations cost money.
Would you... I agree.
Okay.
I agree. The only other area we need to explore is it hasn't been our practice to allow the purchase of a ticket and then to ensure. Now I'm not necessarily talking about senior citizens here. We have other areas that we have people traveling non-revenue. It hasn't been our practice to allow the purchase of a ticket as insurance, and then if space is available, free passage, and then the refund of the ticket. One of the reasons being it's an administrative nightmare to go back to the
process. If I could just continue with
yes.
that. Well, that's fine. No one's asking you to refund the ticket. We're just saying to set some firm guidelines here so that if I'm a senior and I come from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I would like to ride for free, and I figure that I can argue with someone as to whether or not I'm an Alaskan, or even if the federal fund thing concerns me, if in fact we can't discriminate because of federal funds, then the best way to handle it is that if I want to take my chances from Albuquerque, that I may sit in Juneau all summer, or I may get to ride for free, I think I'll pay my fare. And I think that solves the whole problem, the entire thing. But what happens in the past, and I've lived here for over 30 years, is that the legislature passes all kinds of legislation But what happens to it administratively is many times far different. And certainly we would want them to know how we would want this implemented, Madam Chairman. I guess that's why I'm being so firm.
Yes. Yes. I think we've hit the key with space available situation.
I'd suggest maybe what we could do is just define that and confirm that space availability in the resolution itself, maybe up in the whereas part, throw a whereas in there, I don't know what the exact language would be, but if we could modify it to lock in that space availability, I think that would make everybody real comfortable, and we could move it real quick. And I see we're running down to 9:30.
Yes.
So maybe we could do that and come back on it.
I think very possibly, rather than passing it out, that it would be far wiser for us to work with Representative Grusendorf on a committee substitute. Is this a general consensus of the committee?
Is that okay with the sponsor?
Representative Grusendorf, is this all right with you?
Fine.
All right, then. Did you have any further testimony, Mr. Spock?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that'll make it hunky dory.
Oh, yeah.
And then we will not pass the resolution out today. I'll ask staff to get together with Representative Grusendorf and attempt to lock in the space available basis versus the reservation type situation. Is there any further business come before the meeting? There's no further business, then we'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.